I'm Kathleen Rowe. I'm the chair of the Health Science Department at San Jose State University and the founder and director of Salud Familiar and McKinley. And even though my name is on this abstract, I want to acknowledge at least half of the people that were involved in this project or are now, and many of them are in the room. So if you're a part of Salud Familiar, or excuse me, if you're part of Comida Casera, a part of Salud Familiar, please raise your hand, especially if you're part of Family Harvest. Look around. This is a big group. So I'm really proud to present our work. So Salud Familiar is a community campus partnership. It's based in San Jose State University, our health science department, and the local school 2 miles away, McKinley Elementary School. It is a big emergent project with lots of moving parts, and our most recent moving part is Comida Casera and the Family Harvest Food Distribution Program, which we developed based on our analysis of food insecurity in the Silicon Valley in this particular neighborhood. Just to give you some background, San Jose State is a large comprehensive university, 30,000 students. We've been majority minority for a really long time, and we are very, very proud of the tradition of service and community engagement that our department especially has had for at least 15 years. McKinley Elementary School is 2 miles from our campus. It is largely a Mexican immigrant school, 600 children with K and pre-K and Head Start and other kinds of programs, but we mostly work with the families in the K through sixth grade. It is 90% Latino, mostly Mexican immigrants from Michoacan and other states in that area, but increasingly from Oaxaca. And as I said, it's just 2 miles from the campus. The two primary goals of Salud Familiar and McKinley, our broader project, are to co-create the cultures, environments, resources, and culture confidence resources and environments for health, and to prepare together a passionate and compassionate workforce and population for contemporary California. And this project that I'll talk about really embodies that. And a third goal, which again relates to what we do together, is confianza con la universidad, which is community trust and confidence in the university, especially a public university, as a source of resources and inspiration for all of us. So we do a lot of things in Salud Familiar and McKinley. This just gives you an idea of what we do in 2012, all based out of our San Jose State Health Science and Recreation Department. And the ones I'm going to focus on now are the nutrition education, but largely the monthly Family Harvest Food Distribution Program. And we have posters throughout today and other sessions if you're interested in other parts of these interventions. So now, Comida Casera, which is a project of Salud Familiar. This was a project designed to influence the informal food system in and around McKinley Elementary School so that fresh and healthy and homemade food is more often available, expected, and enjoyed by families, again, mostly Mexican immigrants in the local community. And in the summer of 2011, we did three things. And Julia Barba, Moshkan, Mohamedi, Aldo Chazaro, and Silvia Montaño, three of the four are here right now, were really critical in this work. First was participant observation at the McKinley community. We'd been at McKinley since 2005. We had a lot of information in our heads and in our hearts and in our muscles of what it is that people do, what they eat, how they eat, how they share food and all of that from our time at McKinley. But we began documenting that more systematically in our notes, in a participatory way with each other. We also did a very wonderful and fun and exciting several days of exploring with the mothers and children how it is that food gets into the informal food system at McKinley. And then Julia and Mojgan and Aldo and Silvia did participatory mapping of the food access points and looking at food security. So we were able to distinguish between the formal food system and the informal food system of a school. And the formal system is identified here, and that's all the ways that you would imagine an urban school located in a small but an urban neighborhood would have formal relationships with the food access and food distribution points around it. But what was the most fun and interesting and revealing for us was identifying all the informal paths of food into the school environment. So food from home and food from home that's shared with somebody else, class rewards, of course, for good scores or behavior, classroom celebrations. As you go down the list, these are all familiar, I'm sure, to anybody working in food insecurity, but as you go down the list, you'll see that so many of these are the lifeblood of the economics of a school. So fundraisers and the way that sports and other programs support themselves is often through selling what I've now learned since I've been here is called competitive foods. I used to call them junk food. Competitive food. And then the mobile vendor outside of the school. And if there's time in my presentation or during the question and answers, I'd really like to talk about the mobile vendor. It's a very, very important role, and not the bad role that I think we often think that may play, but that's not the purpose of this talk, so I'm going to move on. So in our focus groups and the work that we did that summer, talking with mothers and talking with children about how they get the food that they eat and what do they like and what's the food that they love, we found some, you know, things that you probably would imagine, probably you know from your own communities or your own families. Kids love healthy food and they like to try new things. We found that the children at McKinley had not ever had, for the most part, a lot of the fresh healthy food that's available in California. And when we did our summer program and asked kids, most of them had never had a nectarine before, and we're right there in the place where nectarines grow. So there were a lot of foods that are fresh and healthy that kids loved when they got to try them, but they're just not in what the mothers have available to them or prepare. And the mothers were very interested in preparing healthier foods, and they really enjoyed healthier foods when Angelica Rojas, our nutritionist, another undergraduate student in our program, would share with them and teach them healthy food. They loved what she prepared in the traditional Mexican style, just with a healthier twist. They just didn't know how to do it themselves. So a couple of key findings are the ones in red, that healthier food is actually considered a new thing in this community, and that healthier food is mostly brought in by other people, usually by us, by outsiders to the community, and that healthier food is not consistently available. So anybody who's tried on their own to change a health behavior, you know that you need the resources and the cues to action and the materials for that change available often so that you can implement it when you want to and when you remember. And if that resource is inconsistently there, you're far less likely to get interested in it and make change yourself. And the other thing that we found, this was part of Julia's work, is that there were many, many food distribution points with really great food bank developed programs within 2 miles of the school, which is our center, but people weren't using them or weren't using them consistently. So our challenge, we found, is that it's possible to be extraordinarily food insecure, even in a place where there are healthy food resources just two miles away. So Julia and Mojgan and Aldo and Sylvia did a number of things that summer, including identifying with the mothers. This is a very interesting exercise. What's your perimeter? How far will you and can you go to get food for your family? And we did it on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. What is the pattern of shopping that busy moms do? And we found a perimeter that was not necessarily what we might have imagined. We found that they were going to some stores that we might have thought were too far away, but they can make it a sort of a three-store trip, and it makes it worth their time. But then that costs gasoline. And so more they can do that sometimes, but more likely there's a different perimeter, a different set of stores and blocks that they're accessing than we would have known on our own. We also did walkability. They did walkability surveys where they actually walked between the McKinley Elementary School and these various access points that the mothers go to see what it's like to do that. Because at the end of the day, a mom usually has to rely on being able to walk to the place where she's going to get food, because if you have one family car and the dad needs it for work and the work is inconsistent, then he's got to take it or he's got to be where he needs to be in the car, hoping that work will come. We even found that with these moms, they can't take the car out often because their husband might get the call that some day work is available and they've got to get in the car and go right then. So the mom can't be in a line 2 miles away with the car, because if the father needs it, he's got to have the car available. So we worked with them on how far they walk, and then Aldo and the others actually walked with them, and they walked with strollers and carts and all of the things to feel what it is like to try to get food or go to the family harvest distribution points with all of the baggage that a mom has to take when she's going out to get even free and delicious healthy food. So we found all kinds of barriers. These are probably very common in your community, but to the food bank, which is a really thoughtful group of people in our county, these were not evident because they do their work with a map and not on the ground. So when they actually walked the walk that women would have to take to get to these various points, they found high traffic volume, driveways and entry points along the sidewalk that they would have to walk, very few stop signs, very few cross lights, no shade or shelter. So if it's 100 degrees in the summer or 50 degrees and windy in the winter, the moms are walking with their preschool child and there's nowhere to stop. There's not even bus. If there's a bus shelter, there were very few of those, and where they are, there's people sitting there. So there's no place for a mom and her children to stop and rest if they're walking 2 miles to the food distribution point. And the worst one was that it requires crossing a freeway entrance 2 times. So just here are a couple of Julia's photos that document, that's a freeway entrance that you're seeing. You're coming on it here, and so the woman has to walk across the sidewalk there, but that's going onto the freeway, and there's no traffic lights, no traffic control of any kind. And as you look down that street, you see there's no shade, no shelter, no place to rest or stop with your 2 or 4-year-old. Here's another one. They're crossing to get across that street and get towards they have to cross that freeway. That's another freeway entrance. And then here's another one. So this was a really dangerous route to school, where to the food distribution points. And again, when you look at it on the map, it looks perfectly reasonable, like it wouldn't be that hard to get from here to there. But in reality, it's really difficult. And so along those 2 miles, there are 4 to 6 lanes of traffic. So you're passing a lot of fumes and noise and distraction. And imagine having a 2 or 4 year old by the hand trying to keep them on this side. And then you've got a freeway entrance coming on, and there's people coming by. The other thing that the women found on small sidewalks, so there's not much barrier between you and your cart and your 2-year-old and your 4-year-old. You've got two children, one on each hand, and there's busy traffic going by. But the thing that we found that was really most disturbing of all is that when a mom is walking to get food for her family, men say nasty things as they pass them on the street. And that just was a part of the reality that the food bank didn't know, that women are harassed. And whether it's harassed about you're beautiful or looking good or looking hot this morning, or things that men might think are nice things to say to a busy mother trying to get food for her family, or that they're just outright crude, they were predictable, and it was made it so that women didn't necessarily want to take that 2-mile walk and face all of these challenges. Julia and her group also looked at the bus routes, and they found that the bus routes are not convenient for grocery shopping. For what the women said was their perimeter of where they wanted to shop, the bus doesn't get you there, and when it does, it often requires a transfer. And if you look at, we do not have affordable public transportation for neighborhood transport in San Jose, and so it was just too expensive. So then we thought, well, what if people could get healthy food at a place that they trust, that's centrally located, that's easy to get to, and where they enjoy being? And the reason, and the place that we thought of course, was where we have our project, the school, the local school, McKinley Elementary. And there are so many reasons for a school to be the distribution point of a food distribution system. It's trusted, it's central, it's where everybody is. We thought we could easily set up a reminder system because we could be there at school and remind people that it's coming up next week. And that there's so much social support and reinforcement when you're with the school and you're with then the other mothers and families and children who are there. So we thought this would be a great idea, and then we quickly found out that there are a million reasons why it can't be done, why the school cannot be the site for food distribution. There are too many existing sites close by, the food bank told us. You can't take families away from existing sites. So if you, Salud Familiar, bring all your fun college students to this site, you're going to drain families from the other sites that are barely holding on with their minimum number of families. So you can't set up a competitive site in the environment because it plays with the money and the distribution of families across the sites. We thought maybe we couldn't do it there because we've already got a bazillion things going on and the school's busy and they had really serious test score problems last year and we're trying very hard to focus everybody on being able to pass the state's exams. And so that's just, we weren't sure if the school would be willing to take this on. You need a facility and it's quite complicated what you need, and there's legalities and there's insurance that needs to be covered, and we had to work with the school for that. There's personnel needed. The food bank requires that you have a standing committee of 18 people who will promise for an entire year to set up the food distribution and take it down, and that half of those people cannot be clients of this program. So I had to guarantee that I could get 9 students from San Jose State who would be willing to be there every single month for 12 months to work with 9 mothers who would also promise to be there every month, and nobody gets paid for doing this. And so this is a complicated volunteer setup to have to develop, and we can't burden the school staff. And we can't go back on a commitment that we make, especially a commitment for food. But the food bank, once we talked with them about, once they came out and saw our operation at McKinley, all the things that Salud Familiar can do, and they met the mothers and they met the student, my students, they decided, you know what, we'll let you try. So they gave us a 1-year trial. And in 3 weeks, we did the outreach. Sylvia and Aldo did the outreach, and they registered 100 families. Of all the families at McKinley, only one family makes too much money to qualify for Family Harvest. And so they enrolled everybody who was eligible. We arranged for the insurance. We identified the staff who would do this, our volunteer staff. We formed our committee. We had our orientation, and we got it underway. And so now, on the first Thursday of this week, in fact, David Noh, who's in the back, who's now the coordinator, took over when Aldo graduated, will meet the truck with his committee. He'll meet the truck, and the truck will open up, and they will turn the blank, empty cafeteria into a Family Harvest food distribution site. The way that this works, this probably works in your communities too, is the truck comes and unloads all the stuff, and then the nutritionist comes along and tells you how many of each of these things each family can get. Families have appointments, and they show up with their ticket for their exact appointment time. time, and hopefully we're on time and can meet them at their exact appointment time. They line up outside, and there we move them through. It's like personal shopping. They go along the rows, and the college students, and now we've been allowed to have fifth graders and up, help us put the food in their shopping cart. So you'll see what that looks like. Here's mothers and college students together unloading the truck and getting it all organized. There's David and some other students, and there's just a mother coming through doing her shopping and going along and getting her things put in on the table. This is examples. They get 200 pounds of fresh produce and core healthy staples. And so now we're on to the next part, which is now that we've got the food distribution system going at McKinley. We've been going for about 8 or 9 months now, and this is a good thing. This is going to work. Sylvia does active outreach during the month to make sure that the families remember and that they know their appointment time and that they'll be there on time. David works to make sure that his committee is there. It's not a Salud Familiar event if there's not a raffle, and so we always have a raffle for the one volunteer gets a raffle prize and one mother who's come shopping gets a raffle prize. And we are going to be continuing to support the food bank the food bank project with all the other things that you need in order to combat food security. So making sure that our food at all of our events is healthy and drawing from the kinds of things that they got in the food distribution the last month or that we can find out are coming in the month ahead. We showcase them in our own activities. We work with a classroom. We had a cooking series that helps mothers learn how to cook with the food that they're given at the distribution, and we've been able to help support. We don't do the garden at school, but we're able to help support the garden, and then again, our family harvest food distribution is the center. So it takes a village. This is an example of one month's volunteers that came together to work on family harvest, and it's a really good thing. The mothers love it, the families love it, and the college students love being part of it. So thank you very much, and I'm happy to take questions during the question and answer period.